What up, what up, what up? I asked y'all if I should start like that, and y'all dumbasses said yeah, so I did it. What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 9, season 2 of the 1528 podcast. This is Dre, and y'all got me for the next 4 weeks for the club. So really happy to be with y'all, man. This is going to be fun. We're going to have some real cool topics, and the fellas just going to, you know, rock out. But before we get into this week's topic, fellas, what's been popping? What's been cracking? I know y'all had a lot of activity last week. Talk to me.
Hola.
Oh, man. You speak Spanish,
these two guys, because
you went to Mexico.
These two.
You know,
right, right. We,
but that's how they came back with hola.
Hola and a couple pictures for Instagram. Yeah,
that's it, man.
Do it for the gram. Man,
but how was it? The big like 40th celebration, right?
Yeah, man. It was great. Can't complain. I honestly needed the trip. I was really just in a funky headspace, just being stuck, I guess, at the house. And so, like, oh, go to Mexico. And let me tell you, that water, that blue water on those beaches, I have seen people paint with, like, these different color blues, like, as it goes out or whatever, how you want to do it. Mm-hmm. I've never seen it before with my own eyes. Not even Florida, nothing like that has ever been. Not even DR's waters were as blue.
Oh, first time to Mexico?
Yeah, it's first time to Mexico. Dope. Let's see, I swung through the jungle. What else did I do?
106.
I did a speedboat.
You drove a speedboat?
Yeah. What else did I do?
Got you a little thirst trap picture for your IG.
You know,
with the taco meat out.
Absolutely no. That's lamb's wool, baby. That's lamb's wool.
Okay. Upgraded. Before you now, we got to change the title.
Lamb's wool. Always been lamb's wool, man. Okay. Heavy like animal. What else? What else I do? I wanted to do some parasailing, but the winds were high. Yeah.
Fuck that.
Snorkeling. That's what it was. Not scuba diving. Snorkeling.
You did it once.
Did. Yeah. Got me a new case for my camera so I could get some underwater pictures. That was dope.
Do you have a droid? If you had a droid, you wouldn't.
Android.
If you had a droid, you wouldn't need a.
No, case.
Yeah, we can just dive in that mug. And
nobody really needs a case now, but like, why would you chance it? But go ahead.
All right. So you had your little good time out there. It looks like you stayed occupied, had some cool excursions. What the rest of y'all been up to last week or so?
Nothing in comparison.
Oh shit! Almost a week and a half, right? Didn't we record Sunday last?
Last
time?
Sunday.
Yeah.
I think so.
Man, what y'all been up to?
I just been working. I feel like putting out fires is not the real name for it. It's really, oh my goodness, I got people losing six-figure contracts and people not understanding policies and procedures and, you know, in the middle of COVID and all that. So just, man, it's just been grind, but work and a lot of strategic, you know, thinking and planning and all that. I shared one victory with y'all on Facebook, though. Was able to help a department get raises, so that was good. Mm-hmm. They've been waiting for like 5 years for raises. I was like, let's look at this budget. Jeez. Look at all this money we have for this for our staff.
I tell you, one person who wouldn't have been waiting after 5 years.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I can't do this anymore. No, but it was funny because it was just like, well, we can't keep staff. I'm like, because you can't have a business in San Francisco and pay less than anywhere else in the Bay Area. Like, San Francisco, people work there knowing you're going to make more. You know what I'm saying?
And yeah, that's why. Anywhere can't have people making the same money for 5 years. Like, shit goes up. Like,
well, they get little raises, but it pales in comparison to what they should be making in the city. You know what I'm saying?
The industry standard.
Yeah.
So. Gotcha. BJ, how's your liver? I know you've been
man,
taking out your anger on it lately.
You've been viva la vida loca and hasn't been out of the country. JT should have been on
but BJ
was on it.
I drank tequila for JT while he was in Mexico.
I drank it for myself.
Are you drinking for yourself?
I got me.
Put your evils on me. I have mine.
No,
No, it's been a good weekend, man. I just chilled out, had a employee meeting yesterday. Also had a meeting with the owners. We talked about some stuff for possibly the future and whatnot. But it's been a good weekend, you know. Nothing too crazy, I don't think.
You don't remember, at least.
You don't remember.
Oh, man. That's what's up.
Speaking of tequila, I mean, I'm for sure the actual drinkers in the group would know this, but, like, all this stuff in America, the tequila, it's trash. Absolute trash.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. Like, that's probably why my stomach and stuff literally, like, does me dirty when I drink tequila over here. Over here. Cause
I won't say it's trash.
You're international.
You just say it's trash.
Shit.
I'll say it's like if you read a book and then watch the movie about it. They can both be good, but the book is always going to be better.
It's kind of trash in the context of it's not pure tequila. Yeah. It's like
a whole bunch of ethanol and sugars.
That's why it's
like
trash.
That.
Like, it's the additives fuck it up.
Yeah.
You gotta pay.
But I had this one, like a coffee tequila. Amazing.
I've never
absolutely
heard of that.
Amazing. Yeah. It's just tequila with some little coffee extract or whatever into it. And it's one of those things, like, I should have bought some, but at the time I didn't feel like spending any more money because pesos adds up. so, you know.
To a dollar, nigga.
Facts.
Right.
But all this shit is like 500 pesos. So that's at least $10 off top. And so, like, when things cost like 5,000 pesos and stuff, it's bananas.
It just sounds worse than it really is.
Right.
Yeah. I'm like, you know what? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No more pesos. No more pesos.
So what I'm hearing is you didn't bring us no tequila.
No, but what I did do is, you see, this is dwelling down, right? I just gonna get another bottle.
Oh, because you're international.
You just get one?
You know,
I know you got more than one.
So yeah, I was absolutely about to say his your use of pronouns isn't really reflecting BJ's question here.
No, not at all. Where's my tequila?
What happened?
That's what he said. Happened. Us,
right?
You,
nosotros.
No backups.
We,
out of
our
us.
Shit. No, I'm like, know who us.
Yeah,
is.
We're still lacking in. Well, that's what's up, man. Glad y'all had a good week. I ain't do much shit. Probably won't do much nothing. Planned a couple trips. So we'll hear about those in the future. But for now, let's go ahead and dive into the section. And this week, we're talking about issues surrounding celebrities, what we think about them, how we would impact them if we're in the same situation, and stuff like that. So we're going to go ahead and dive into the first question. That question is, with Demi Lovato's most recent documentary coming out, a lot of the focus has been around, you know, the ill-fated, I guess, lives that a lot of child celebrities live, growing up in the spotlight and dealing with certain things that only they have to deal with. So the question to all of the fellas is, for those who don't have kids, if you did have some, and for Sid, you've already raised 24, you have working on your 25th now, child...
Like an idiot.
If you were ever in a situation where you could, or where your child had the option or the possibility or the avenue to become a child star, to be in movies, to be in TV shows, to be a musician or whatnot, is that something you would allow your child to do? Why and why not? And, like, what kind of concerns would you have about going that route, if so?
I'll start this one because I had to think about it. I feel like most of the time that we have child stars that kind of like fail or fizzle out, however you want to call it, I feel like it's a lot of the parents that aren't ready for it. And I feel like I don't think there's any natural parenting for child stars. And so no one really knows how to really deal with that in a way. Especially, I mean, here you are, you know, you got a kid, you're from Louisiana, your daughter can sing, so... You're going to up and move to California to have her career. You could easily do a Brandy situation and be like a momager or something like that, and it works out. But sometimes shit don't work out like Britney. Britney Spears, she worked out, but at the same time, you see where she's at right now. So it's not the greatest of stories. So
it was a bumpy road.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like it's the parenting that goes into it. Like, if you instead of treating your child like a commodity or business and pimp them out for the money, you know what I'm saying? Even if it's for them under their name and or however you want to get take your percentage, I think if you do it right and understand you're still a parent first, I think you have a better chance. I would do it, but I would really have to sit down with myself and my child, be like, this is your job, but these are the things that we don't do in our family. This is the ways you need to act. I would still need to raise you as my child versus just being, you know, you're just a superstar. I'm not treating you like a superstar at home. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, there's certain things you can't do. Like, all your kids doing MTV, Miami Spring Break and shit. Like, that's not necessarily a thing. We can go for a couple of days. We'll be coming back home, depending on the age. Shit like that. I think it's a case-by-case situation, but I think the parenting is probably the most important part when it comes to keeping a kid from falling.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just can't let the industry raise your kids. I would only do it on one, you know, really one or two cases, you know, like either I'm at a place where I'm financially stable enough to where, for one, I'm not dependent on their success to finance my life, you know what I'm saying? And then, so therefore, it'll make a way for me to be able to be with them, like JT said, and parent them wherever they go. Like, there's no city that you're going to that dad's not going to be there. I'm not saying I'm going to follow you to every party, or I'm going to be in every, you know, you want to go out and do certain things with your friends, I'm going to be there. I'm not saying I'm going to be, but I'm going to be in the city where you are, you know right. what I'm saying? And then, or a surrogate, you know what I'm saying? My brother, my mom, somebody who would go and have the same values in raising him, you know, raising them as I would have to be there as well. Like, it just, they won't be able to just run off and be like, you know, their manager got him or their mm-hmm. wardrobe person got him. Like, no, I don't know this person. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I would treat them like a superstar at home because they are. I think it's one thing to humble your kids and make sure they understand, you know, hey, you're not better than anybody else. But it's another thing, like, let them be great. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're doing great things out there. So, I mean, I hear, like, you can't get away with stuff because you're a star. Like, you know,
we're not gonna treat
you.
Yeah. I'm not saying deny them their status at home as far as, like, acknowledging what they're doing.
Right.
Just, like,
you ain't got to talk down to them. Like, you ain't right. shit, little
nigga. Yeah. What your fans that. Say?
You ain't shit in this house, nigga.
Right. Nah.
Fuck all your dancing and singing and shuffling and shit.
Fuck about job, no Tonys. Give a fuck about no Oscars.
Right. So yeah,
I would have to upstairs.
I would have to parent, like JT said, I would have to parent them through the whole thing and be ready. I would have to be in a place emotionally, financially, everything to where if I felt that my child was being negatively affected by it or being overwhelmed by it, by a negative influence, then just be able to pull out of it. No matter if it's his dream or their passion or whatever, like, you can't do it no more because I'm not going to lose you to it.
Yeah, see, and like with me, I would feel like I would have to let them do it, but I would be so afraid and paranoid the entire time. I say that I would have to let them because that's the way my parents kind of raised us. My mom always had a dream that in college, she wanted to go to California to college and run track, but her mom wouldn't let her leave the family in Cleveland. So she ended up giving up that dream, and that, like, was something that always bothered her. And she always raised us, like, whatever you want to do, I'm going to support you. I'm going to let you do it. I'm going to be there for you. So I feel like I would be that same way for my child. But the thing that kind of scares me is that I know that there are moments that I can't always be around. There are moments when that child, whether he's an actor or a musician or whatever it might be, is going to be in a room before itself with other people. And some of them could potentially be bad influences who are like, all right, y'all, we're about to go on the stage. Before we do, I'm going to run a line of Coke real quick. Y'all want one? And I'm not going to be able to be in that room to say, no, don't do that. And they might try it and they might like it. And they might start doing it behind my back and finding ways to be in areas that I can't be around or that it's just the performers right before they go on. And like, that would be something where it's like one of those things where it's like, I know that there's going to be some times where I can't control it and I can't supervise it enough for me to feel comfortable, because a lot of kids that went down that road, it was because of different situations like that, where the parents tried to be involved if they could, but they were always people and ways to kind of still get the kids access to shit that fucked them up down the road. So, like, that would be my real, real concern. But I wouldn't stop them from doing it because of that. I would just be extremely nervous every fucking day that they were out.
And that can happen that's anywhere, life. Right? Like,
I'm about to say, that sounds... Going
yeah, to school, that's parenting. Right, but the fact that they have that celebrity... Right, yeah. They have that celebrity that other people in their circle are likely doing those things makes it way more likely that they will have access to it, even if they yeah. don't do it.
Because I feel like that also falls under, like, parents who are extremely... in their own career aren't necessarily mm-hmm. at home, so they're not always there. They have somebody around who could easily influence their kid, and it's I think it's just yeah it's parenting in general. I get it, but
yeah,
right. And like with that situation, like if I knew I had a latchkey kid, and when my kid went home, they weren't going to my house, they were going to my aunt's house to smoke weed all the time, I'll be nervous that, okay, maybe my kid's going to start smoking weed at a young age. You know, it's just about the access that they have as a celebrity versus the access that a normal kid would have.
I get that.
Yeah, I feel like that's one of my fears of sending, you know, Deucey, my youngest son, to private school, right? Because you just, on yeah. TV and movies, you hear private school kids, they have access to all this stuff. Like, in public school, you know, some of y'all smoke weed, but it was more with the like neighborhood kids. It wasn't with like the people you go to school with and y'all sneaking off in the bathroom with just classmates. Like it's like people you walking down the block with and y'all may go to the same school, but you know what I'm saying? It's like
the cats that then, meet you at the corner store and then walk home and smoke with you.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And then it's like, and that's it. You know what I'm saying? It ain't like, hey, you want to try this? You want to do that? Let's go to the moon and do this. It's like, wait, okay, all this unsafe stuff happened. You know what I'm saying? When I say the moon, like, you know, like, let's go on top of the mountain
yeah,
and uh-huh. just, you know what I'm saying? And just, and then roll down or jump off. Or, like, listen, man, go walk down the street like we used to, you know what I'm saying? Meet up at the park. So that is one of the... Let BJ talk.
That's what the people want.
Well, if you open up his mouth.
Right, I'm about to say that. Right.
He ain't saying that.
Everybody got to be completely like quiet.
Let that boy say something. I'm along the same lines of like Dre said, you almost have to let them do it because we teach our kids to follow their dreams, right? And if your kid is baller at something, you got to let them pursue that to the greatest end that they can. You know, so I wouldn't want to hold them back and be like, no, you can't do this because of the evils of Hollywood. I would just have to be, I think like you guys said, just make sure I'm really involved. And then also, it's all about, like you guys said, parenting and the way you raise them. Like, you have to have those real conversations with them early on and let them know and put them up on game about life and about bad influences and who people are and everybody don't got your best interests and all of that. All of those talks might have to happen a little sooner. They might have to grow up a little faster. But I think it would be also important to try to make sure that they have some type of normal childhood too, which is hard.
Normalcy,
yeah. Which is hard for fuck yeah. Which is hard for superstar kids.
Because we know the word. Like,
yes.
Forget everybody who knows the word normalcy.
Think about Michael Jackson. He never had a real childhood because of his superstar status, and he ended up growing up to be a fucking weirdo. You know what I'm saying? So, because he was never a kid, so he got all the money.
Yeah, but that's part of it, though, because aside from everything that we do, they don't have normal experiences that kids have.
Right.
So some of them don't adjust properly mentally because of that, and that's not anything mm-hmm. that, as a parent, we have specific control over, aside from trying to find other ways to get them access to that kind of stuff, which would be a balance that I would feel I had to strike with them in some way, form, or fashion. But it's a reality that a lot of people just don't get that. They're so wrapped up in their career that it's only their career, and they don't get any of that kid experience to grow and mature and just be silly.
Just have
and
fun.
They end up as weirdos.
Yeah, because exactly. Michael Jackson had been on since he was like young. Five. So he never had a chance to really just be a kid or be a teenager, you know what I'm saying? Any of that stuff. And so when you miss out on those, you know, those high and low levels of growing up.
But I think it's all about the kid too. Like, you know, it's certain things you just know about your kid when you're a parent. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. No matter how connected you all stay or whatever. Like, for instance, my oldest daughter, who just turned 20 this year, Lord Jesus. Like, I know her. You know, we haven't got a chance to have the tightest relationship over the years, but I know my kid. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know. You know, like, she may be one who could deal with it. Why? Because she cares about what her parents think. You know what I'm saying? She cares about disappointing us. She cares about doing a good job. You know, but, you know, so that I could trust that in her so that if she wanted to go on to be a child star, I know that, you know, we're instilling stuff in her. She trusts us to where she can come talk to, you know, whatever. Like, I just, that's her personality, you know?
Well, but let me ask you, Sid. You're saying this now, like, in hindsight at 20. Like, how early did you feel like she was capable of that?
I knew that when she was around 3, now Deucey's age, and I would say, "Daddy disappointed in you," and it would just crush her world. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I didn't have to. I never had to spank her or nothing. It would just be like, "Daddy's upset with you because you did da da da," and she's just devastated. You know what I'm saying? But it's knowing your kid, and I think, you know, some kids, you know, you can do the same exact thing, and they're still going to go down the wrong path. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Every kid, like, you can have 10 kids go through divorce. One of them going to say, the divorce pushed me over the edge. You have 10 kids go through co-parenting situations. You have 10 kids go through trying drugs in middle school, you know, or whatever. 10 kids start sex early. And you have, it just depends on the kid, you know. So I think it's really, you know, as a parent, paying attention to your kid and seeing, you know, can your kid handle this? And you say, hey, you can't do it now. Maybe when you turn 16. Or maybe when you
BJ
know.
Wanted to say something so bad.
No, JT's a child.
Done.
Petty asses. I was about to say something. I would, one, also hope that my child know, that I would, one, know my child, two, but also my child would understand or have a sense of themselves before they take off into whatever realm they're going into. That way they don't have to be validated by all the spotlight. Mm-hmm. And then I was about to say I would try to do it in such a way. I think you said it earlier, Dre. They have to grow up a little bit quicker and teach the game to them a lot sooner about life and be like, hey, this is how much you're gonna make if you do X, Y, Z. If you fuck up your image right now, one, you'll be out of a Disney contract, right?
Oh, yeah,
so you know all those type of things of like, let's look at the
yeah,
you know, saying the game all together.
The implications of everything that might happen.
And you can go have fun, but that stuff up your nose, we stay away from that. Right? Right, you know, just little stuff like that.
Plus, you can't undo what a kid is already experiencing. You know, so I think a lot of parents will say, I don't want my kid to grow up so fast, so I'm going to stop them from doing such and such. If your kid's already exposed to it, your kid is growing up in that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't snatch it away fast enough for the kid not to have experienced that. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, the reason I'm saying this is because you said grow up fast, right? Mm-hmm. If your child is in a situation to grow up fast, just because you want them to be a kid longer, so what? You know what I'm saying? You can't, you got to roll with it. You got to go with your kid. It's just like, you know, I want Deucey to be, you know, he turns 12, and I want him to be little Deucey that's 3. Right. But he's in middle school, and he's doing different things. I'm like, no, let's go watch Cocomelon. And he's like, Dad, I'm not watching no dang Cocomelon, but I want him, you know what I'm saying? It's like just, you know, recognizing where your kid is at. It's, you know, it's the same with everything in our lives, relationships or your career or whatever, just knowing where you
adapting
are.
Adapting to where the kid is at the time. Yeah.
And I think JT really brought light to the other part that's really important, and I feel like with us, especially given the families that we come from, it wouldn't necessarily be as much of an issue, but a big part of it is the parenting, right? Mm-hmm. Parents are so blinded by, they're more blinded by the fame than the kids are. Mm-hmm. They end up making shitty ass decisions that end up putting their kids in bad places and bad situations that a lot of times start some of these spirals. Like Brittany, Demi Lovato, a lot of other people's parents are, for a lot of
Michael Jackson,
All Sakes and Matters, a lot of the reasons why, like, they chose to do some of the things that they did. So that's important. I feel like with us knowing who we come from and who our family is, and like JT said, certain things we just don't do in our family, like certain expectations that we come with, it wouldn't be an issue. But I think that's always been a huge thing that impacts a lot of the child stars that didn't necessarily have the smoothest transition into adulthood.
Because I always, when we talk about child stars, I always think about the kids from Different Strokes. Like, hearing about their story, all three of them was down bad. And then, I guess more recently, the youngest daughter from Modern Family, she just went through a parental divorce or whatever. Like, she divorced her parents and stuff like that because they were pretty much just soaking up all her money. And I think I appreciate the fact of her being able to know what's going on, but I know the road to get there between her family and the business, it was all a whole bunch of mess, but she came out pretty well. It's just, I think it's a whole nother situation that when average people kind of get shoved into it, they don't know what to do.
Yeah, you can't. Y'all both can't be new to the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, you notice, like, basketball players whose dad has NBA basketball players whose dad has been in the league. You know, they fare a little bit better. Well, they ain't got to be superstars, but they're not in a whole lot of scandal. They're in a whole lot because it's like dad's gonna give them the heads up because they've been there before.
They know how to maneuver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's like when they say act like you've been here before, and it's like, okay, well, the kid's not gonna act like they've been here before. Right. The parent has to act like they've been there before, but they're basking in it too. Like, oh, your sister's such mom, my sister's such dad, and money's new, travel's new, experience is new. So both of them end up crashing and burning in the situation.
Yeah, they get half that clout that their kid is getting. So it's I think that right there, it will literally be the downfall for the kid when the parent starts sniffing that shit that comes from the kid's limelight. That's when it's pretty much over because they have lost their senses.
Yeah. No, so definitely feel that. And we're going to go ahead and move on to the next question. But before we do, just wanted to point out something I realized real quick. So I just finished my first glass of this recording. And I forgot that on Sunday, I just came off of a 7-day juice cleanse. And this is the first alcohol that I'm having in like 10 days.
Who's the backup?
So as I sip my second glass of bourbon or rye here, it just started to give me the woozies.
He might not make it through the show. Like,
all right, so with that being said, let's go ahead and get to the second question before we fall out. All right, so the next thing that's been in the news, which was funny as hell at first when a lot of people saw the live, but now it's just one of those like precautionary tales that people are going to talk about in the future. Former NBA star Paul Pierce, future Hall of Famer, he recently lost his ESPN NBA analyst job because of some of the actions that happened on a IG Live where he was kind of having a house party. There were men and women scantily clad, dressed, smoking, drinking, and whatnot. And because of his celebrity, because of working for Disney, they were like, oh, yeah, that live you did the other day, you don't have a job anymore because of that. So pack your shit and go. Now, the question there is, like, with celebrities being in the spotlight, with them having kind of a higher standard towards, you know, what they can and can't do, do we feel like that's fair? Because the reality of it is, if that would have happened to any of us, we wouldn't have lost our jobs because of it, right? But do we feel like that's justified? Do we feel like that comes with the job? Like, what are y'all thoughts on that?
Absolutely comes with a job, especially you got to know your company. Like, his parent company is Disney. Disney is all about image and making sure like people are clean across the board. Like, I'm not saying don't live a life and have a whole bunch of fun and do your scaggly. What's the word? Something scandalous? Dress women.
Oh, no, scantily.
I have no idea.
Scantily.
There we go. Thank you.
Scantily dress women.
Thank you. Scantily. That word, scantily dressed women. That's fine. Do all of that, but don't be stupid and do it on IG Live. Like that. That's the part that I feel like you slipped
you
up.
Give a fuck.
You were dumb for a moment.
Yeah,
that too. Which is a problem.
He only had 100 and something people on.
Yeah, it was like 391. I mean,
like for doing
it wasn't
that,
thousands of people.
Right, but for doing that, I don't think it was enough. Either one of us. Yeah, for doing that, I don't think either one of us would have lost it, but I think it depends on what we do. Like, for instance, my organization, we deal with, like, homeless services and domestic violence. If I got caught up in domestic violence, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be able to keep my job. You know what I'm saying? If I was out here on Instagram talking about, like, homeless people deserve what they got, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, then I'm sure, you know, because I broker relationships with other agencies. And, I collaborate with other agencies that work in this. And so, like, you know, I'm pretty sure that if I went on the live and I was just, like, smashing on, you know, homeless people, just berating them or whatever, you know? So I think it depends
Let me ask you this. Yeah. For the sake of the conversation, imagine he wasn't an NBA analyst for ESPN. He was an NBA analyst for TNT, right? Not a parent company of Disney, but they still fired him. Still. Would the conversation still be the same for in y'all minds, or is it just because it's Disney?
For me, yes. I think Disney probably was a straight up firing. But if it's TNT, it would probably be like, we're gonna sit your ass down for a little bit. Like, I think you have to understand, like, as a professional and as a businessman, you need to understand your perception and your image out in the public. Like, I don't care who you are. Like, it. Look, I work in lobbying, so I can't go out here acting stupid on IG and acting ignorant because my firm's going to see it. Thus, that's going to come back on me and some old BS. And I'm not no NBA player for some major network. I'm just talking about little old lobbying firm. Well, not a little lobbying firm, but nonetheless, it still has an impact. So I act accordingly, man. Like, do what you need to do, but everything's not made for a camera. We just talked about social media and cancel culture and all that other stuff. Like, it's a whole thing that you just need to, like, understand and, like, act accordingly, man. That's I feel like it's simple.
Yeah. Now, B, when you answer Disney, and then after, if it wasn't Disney, TNT, let's say.
Yeah. I just think, like, did he get what he deserved? Yes. Like, so on one hand, it's like, should people be able to live their life? Absolutely. But everything is not for everybody to see. You know, that's just like the motherfuckers that every time they get a new pair of J's, they got to post it. Nobody cares. You know what I'm saying? Or every time you get a refund check, you got to post it. You're going to get robbed. Stop talking. You know what I'm saying? Be smart. So,
and BJ's just robbing you, by the way.
Man, yeah, I'm telling you. So I just think it's just one of those things that it's just every time I see stuff like that, I'm like, this person's insecure. Like, why do you have to be in the camera smoking? And there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but it's just this that look at me type of culture. And knowing that you work for who you work for, why? I really think either he just had too many shots or he just did not give a fuck. Like, you know you work for who you work for, right? Even as a service professional, if I go to a bar, I change my shirt out of my uniform that doesn't say Rococo on it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I put on a different shirt or put a jacket over a hoodie. Because you're always, no matter what, you're always representing the people you work for. No matter what it is. Mm-hmm. So knowing that and knowing who you work for and knowing your 391 person popularity, right, on your live, that
man,
it only takes one person to screenshot that and send it to your boss. One hater, you know what I'm saying? Rachel Nichols probably sent that to the fucking boss.
No, what it was, you know, he played for Boston, and Barstool Sports covers all Boston athletes. And once Barstool got it and reposted it, that shit hit the internet. Like, boom, immediately.
Yeah, so,
I don't think it's necessarily just because it's Disney. I just think that no matter what company, if you're doing, even TNT, I feel like they would be like, all right, we're going to have to just part ways. But here's the problem. The hypocrisy of that we might see in it. Because we all know people be getting coked up like a motherfucker and doing all this other stuff. But they're just smart enough not to put themselves on camera. You know? Even with, I thought about this when we were talking about this with Ray Rice. The NFL knew he did what he did. But it wasn't until
The video came out.
The video came out, and then they had to backtrack and protect the shield. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we already know the NFL is a bunch of pieces of shit. Yeah.
But that is rough. now, granted, they should have looked deeper into it. But it's different from I'm not saying it's different. Like you shouldn't get consequences. But it's different from I heard Ray Rice hit his girl, as opposed to look at this video where he spit on her, knocked her out, kicked her, and it's like, oh my god, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it changed the whole game. Like, sure. And that's what they said. Like, when we saw the video, but like, NFL is not a good example because, like I said, NFL just
trash.
Yeah, fuck you.
But I think you got to realize on social media and everywhere else, like, there's levels to this, right? Like, there's certain things that I'll see on social media that I won't share it because I'm like, it's funny, but it ain't really what I want to represent. You know what I'm saying?
So it ain't your brand, right?
Yeah, so I'll send it to y'all, you know what I'm saying? And be like, right, this is funny, and we'll laugh in the inbox about it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's just certain things. Like, if I'm not going to go live on, I might duo y'all and be like, yo, you know what I'm saying? Because there's levels to this, like. He's my boy. He said like this.
Duo, Google Duo, just Google, so there's no confusion there.
Yeah, Google Duo. Yes, it's a video talk chat.
I'm like, is nobody going to clarify for this nigga?
I'm not getting these questions.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? It's like there's, you got to know your audience. You got to have an audience, not know your audience. Because I think some people just don't care. You gotta have an audience. You gotta have enough wherewithal to say, this ain't for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, it's fair because you know what you're signing up for.
There's a difference between being in the parties, you know, or at a bar, smoking hookah, blowing smoke into the camera, right? There's a totally different thing in a situation like that. But you got strippers and all that, you know what I'm saying, type of stuff.
There weren't strippers, allegedly. They weren't strippers.
They were groupies.
They were just grown women in their underwear.
That just walked inside from the outdoor pool.
They got me strippers.
So
that's because they strippers.
Okay.
I will say this. Is weed legal where he resides?
Yes, it was legal where he was.
Well, this is some bullshit, then. Honestly.
But over the federal airways, it's not federally legal.
Right. Now, that's where I was at, BJ. Like, I'm torn. Like, I want to say, yes, what he did, he should have known better. Mainly because of Disney and his celebrity. I personally would never do anything like that. Like Seb mentioned, he would do it on a duo. He would send it to a group chat. With me, I use the close friends feature on Instagram to share stuff that I'm like, it's a little too edgy for me to put on my regular IG page. I don't want that out there, like Dre's brand, my image. But that's not to necessarily say the way I do it is the right way to do it either. But where I'm touring is, well, since it was Disney, like, no, they were going to fire him, period. I get that. But if it was anybody else, what he did wasn't illegal. Right. The women weren't prostitutes, so they weren't strippers. They weren't doing anything, like, extremely racy. They were just dressed nice in summer attire coming in from the pool. Right. Now, we also go in summer attire coming in from the pool.
Yeah.
So, the thing is,
hot out here. Take your clothes off.
We all know athletes want to be rappers and rappers want to be athletes, right? Mm-hmm. It's certain images that they want to live with. And we also know, if you follow basketball enough, Paul Pierce is corny as shit. So the more street cred and the more celebrity and the more cool shit that he can get caught doing, the better he feels about it.
You remember Draymond Green called him out when he was retiring? He said, "You ain't Kobe." He said, "You ain't Kobe. Nobody care."
Right. So
nobody
like, that's
you, Otis.
That's a big part of it too, is because like when BJ was like, "Who you think he is?" Like, well, he's doing it because, you know, he's corny in nature and he wants that kind of attention. So that didn't surprise me at all, but. It takes me back to my job. We all know I had an incident at my holiday party last year where we won't elaborate too much, but let's just say it was outrageous enough where it made a ESPN podcast talking about my company and some drunk dude that was at it, and they're talking about me.
Can I interject, Dre, please? Please. I won't go into detail. I'll just say this. Usually, as an employee, you got to recognize who you work for. employees, you need to recognize that Dre works for you. You just have to understand.
This is what's going to happen. It's just, basically, it's, yeah.
That's don't invite him. That's part of have a holiday party and Drake can't come.
Like, I actually scribble that in on every offer letter that I sign. No, but yeah, if you want to hear about it, go to Katie Nolan's podcast. It's on there from last December. But that's all I'll say about that. But like for me, I feel weird, you know, necessarily like judging people on doing crazy shit because that was a hell of a night that I had. And it was in front of the CEO, chairman of my board, our CFO, all the C-suite executives. I was right in front of the whole night. One of them actually helped me into my Uber. So it was a lot going on. And
they go home before you get fired.
Right. No, not even that. Like it was crazy though. But Rose will tell you all about it. I'm sure she loves fucking embarrassing me with that story. But anyway, I know that with my job and with most jobs, especially ones that are in a public spotlight, we're at-will employees. We can get fired for no reason. They don't have to explain why they're firing us. They don't have to say what you did was against this. They don't have to say marijuana was illegal. They can just say, hey, Paul, I think we're going to go a different route next week. Right. You know? So like, today, that part of it.
Effective right. Immediately. Right. Yeah. We're pivoting.
You don't have to show up to work tomorrow.
Yeah, that part of it is where it's like, I mean, they weren't wrong in doing it, but at the same time, I don't necessarily think that he stepped outside of a lane doing that. It wasn't a smart thing to do. I definitely agree with that. But I don't necessarily also don't think it was something that should he
it wasn't
should feel
egregious.
Like.
So right, what did they exactly. cite? What exactly. did they cite exactly to fire him? Did they say?
To my knowledge, they didn't cite anything. They just said we're. I mean, and it's
like you said, there was nothing illegal. It was like if I'm at a pool party, like that's where I am. And if I'm smoking, like JBJ said, if it's not illegal, like
well,
what rules?
Yeah. The problem with that is with Disney, they probably had them sign a non-disclosure, so it'll probably never come out.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure it'd just be something like, don't you know how they like fine players for actions detrimental to the team or some bullshit like that? It probably was just in the contract under representation or something like that, and they thought absolutely. That was misrepresenting the company. So it was bullshit, but it was just dumb. He was dumb for doing it. Not that he was wrong.
Yeah.
Right, and to that fact, BJ, now that I think about it, my last company I worked with, we dealt with a lot of hospital systems, pretty much all of the largest ones in the country. So there was a clause in there that basically said, if you do anything that we feels puts our company in a bad spotlight, we have the right to part ways with you because we don't want to associate ourselves with that. They could have used that for me at the holiday party. We actually, our company did use that in the past when we brought providers on board, and then we found out of legal issues that popped up that were sketchy to the point where we're like, we don't feel good associating our brand with what that doctor's accused of. So I'm sure Disney has multiple clauses that are along those lines.
Sure, you're talking about a company that won't let some of their employees have mustaches. So you telling me that, you know, like acting like a pimp on IG ain't gonna get you in some hot water. Like,
come on, man. Nah, come on, man.
Right.
That's just like
playing Dolomite on a Sunday.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man.
Just have one of them. You can have one girl. One girl.
Maybe he wanted out of the contract, though. Man. What about the other side? Like, maybe he wanted out. Maybe he knew something was up. Like, maybe he was. Was he?
Put your 2 weeks notice in. Then,
nah.
Put your 2 weeks notice in. You don't get fired on purpose. That's stupid.
Yeah, right.
That's an unemployment check if you get fired.
He recently started doing it. It ain't like he's been doing it in 10, 15, 20 years. He is not like their big money maker, so it ain't like he's going to demand a huge contract if he goes to somewhere else. And I mean, Paul Pierce, he's kind of corny, so he don't like have
BET Sports.
I mean, he could go to like TNT and work with Chuck and him, but. He ain't big enough to be on the stage with Chuck and Shaq and him. So like, and he might be on NBA TV next summer.
BET
he Sports.
Damn sure can't start his own podcast like us. So fuck that.
Hey.
Maybe
he'd be on
up in smoke. All the smoke.
No, where he will go is probably to a local Boston sports affiliate and be the Boston Celtics guy there, since he's Mr. Boston Celtic of our generation.
Yeah.
Man, for sure. They gave him a shot. He threw it away. All right,
not gonna waste my shot.
Right. One don't throw away y'all shots, people. Please don't throw away y'all shots like Paul Pierce just did. But yo, really good first half. We're gonna go ahead and shoot to a commercial and then we'll be right back, y'all. Pew, catch you in a minute. Hey, everybody. Thanks for coming back and checking us out again. This is Dre checking in with the 1528 Podcast. Just wanted to remind everybody, if you haven't checked us out on the Facebook community group, please go ahead and do that. After every episode, we go there. We pose questions about the stuff that we talked about in the episode. We want to hear your thoughts. We want to hear where you agree. We want to hear where you disagree. We want to hear if there's any other things about the topics that we discussed that you guys, you know, have input on. So that is done, again, in the Facebook community group. Right now, there's a conversation going on about last episode, and there's going to be conversations about the next episode and the future ones after that. So we already have over 1600 people in the group, so let's go ahead and add you to that list. If you haven't gone yet, the link is at the bottom of our website for the 1528 Podcast Facebook community group. We look forward to seeing all of you guys there. Thanks so much for supporting the show, and we'll see you guys over on Facebook. Cheers. Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the second half of episode 9 of the 1528 Podcast. We're talking about celebrities today. I got my boys with me, JT, Sid, and BJ, in the building. Again, this is Dre. I'm hosting episode 9, 10, 11, and 12. Before we kick it to BJ, who bamboozled me into taking this set of four, but I'm going to roll with it. the second half of the question, or the episode, we got a question. And it's kind of stemming around DMX. Rest in peace to the dog. He recently passed. JT wanna laugh so bad.
That was a horrible bark.
That was the worst dog bark
ever. He would be so disappointed right now. Right.
I'm a little midget ass dog.
Right. Oh, wow. Lap dog.
Right.
Oh, wow. Man.
But you know, a lot of us have kind of follow DMX's journey. We've seen his life, the struggles, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows. And he recently lost his life due to a coma that was brought on by a sudden drug overdose. And that kind of leads us to a bigger question around free will versus predestiny. And the question posed to, you know, you guys, all of us today is, what are our thoughts on free will and predestiny? You know, did he die because he took the drugs, or was that something that was going to happen no matter what? It was written. So kind of, you know, take that, share, elaborate on that as much as y'all will. Who wants to go ahead and jump it off?
I can jump it off, so therefore I won't be so long. Y'all can just make sure I wrap up. So I'll say this, man. Like, when it comes down to predestination and God's perfect will and how much time we have on this earth and how much God knows in advance and all different things. Welcome, Deucey, to the second half of the 1528 Podcast, episode
Deucey.
9. He's not going to be quiet. But
Hoover Deuce. OG Bobby Johnson.
but I think, you know, I think we all have a designated time to be here. And I think God has a perfect will that's out there, and it's a choice. Within our free will, you know what I'm saying? So I kind of felt like that, you know, April, whatever date DMX left the earth was the date he was going to leave the earth. And I think up until that date, he had, we all have a series of choices to make of how our lives are going to turn out or what we're going to do. And wherever we are at that time is where we are, right? And you think about a biblical story about the prodigal son. It takes people certain things to get to certain places to where they say, I need to go back to my father. I need to go back. And so, for instance, for him, when he got to the point where he started eating with pigs, he was like, man, forget this. I'm going to go get a job at the crib. I might not be in my dad's area anymore, but I ain't about to be living like this. I'm going to get a room. I'm going to have, you know, I'm going to eat good. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to just go back home. I'm going to tell him I'm sorry, and I'll be one of your servants. And that was what it took for him to turn around and say, I want to go back in this, you know, as the story illustrates, you know, his perfect will, right? For some of us, it may be, man, I got locked up. I got real sick. I had a kid. I got married. Whatever. It's whatever it is that gets you back on track to say, I want to walk in this perfect will. And when you do that, it's not necessarily that you walk in perfectly, because one thing for sure is that righteousness does not equal perfection. Righteousness is being in right standing with God, and there's grace in that. There's grace and mercy in that. T-shirt. So, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I think that, what do you say?
Or in a book.
Man, well, that's a sore subject right now, but we'll get there. Sorry. But no, so I think that we all have our lives to live, and God being the sovereign God that He is, He knows the choices we're gonna make. He knows, you know, He also knows us to say, hey, come on, let's get back to the place of safety, a place of meaning. You know what I'm saying? But He's not gonna drag you to it. You know what I'm saying? He's gonna give you your free will to do what you want to do with it. And so I do think people can pass away without reaching their full potential. As a matter of fact, it's one of my biggest fears. I don't want to pass away feeling like I left something on the table, because it's my choice to leave it on the table or not. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'll just leave it there. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get that. And, like, for me, the way I kind of see it is I believe in free will for sure. But I also believe that it's all part of a larger plan, right? I guess for me, the most, the easiest way for me to kind of describe the way I vision it is, if you guys remember when we were kids, the Choose Your Own Adventure books, right? Hmm. You went to a certain point, and then it was like, do you want to go to this page or do you want to go to this page? Do you want to jump to this section or do you want to jump to this section, right? No matter which avenue we picked, the ending of the book was the ending of the book. Now, depending on the path that you chose, the ending that you read might not be the same ending that somebody else reads. And I feel like that's kind of where we are in terms of free will. Like, the higher power that guides all of us, He gives us the opportunity to, you know, make mistakes, to go down routes that we choose. But the ending is written. It's just about how we navigate to get there. I don't necessarily know if – I haven't really kind of weighed in personally on if I think there's a certain day that I think it's like my time is up or not, which I could see that. I could not see that. I haven't really thought about it. But I definitely think there's just a – path that I have an option of going down, and depending on the choices that I make depends on which route I go, and the branches continue to develop and expand as I go down a certain path in my life. So it's not like I go down one path, make that one choice, and then all the choices are done. No, another choice might pop up in 6 months, another choice might pop up in a month, another choice might pop up in a year, kind of a thing. And that's kind of how I vision kind of my concept of free will within side of predestination.
Gotcha.
So I believe that within His master plan is also our free will. So it's like an umbrella situation. Like, out of all of it, no matter what our free will, our choices are, like, it's still a part of His master plan. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you know, the end of the book is the end of the book. And so I believe that there is a day that is, you know, scheduled for all of us, you know, and it all depends more so, like you said, how we arrive there. For DMX, to me, he personified struggle and living with your struggle and, like, your heartache. Like, since I've known him as a rapper, right, like, you know, his story, like, he's had one hell of a life of hardships and ups and downs and, you know, a whole bunch, right? And so he, to me, in a way, is also a symbol of perseverance because, truthfully, a lot of people with his story could have been gone a long time ago.
Yeah, him making it to 50 was a blessing. You know? That's the way I see it.
And sadly, you know, the way he passed is kind of one of those things where, like, you get it. You hate it, but you get it. It's kind of like, But I thought he had kind of beaten that part. Because, you know, a lot of people who go through type of struggles, especially with drugs, get to the point where, like, you know what? I ain't messing with that no more, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, especially him being out of the limelight, you kind of think that he's found a quiet life doing whatever. Like, he still got young kids, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like...
Got more to live for again.
Yeah, I thought he had found that I don't want to say peace, because I don't think him doing drugs is to find peace. I think after a while it becomes recreational. And, you know, to enjoy life to in another level. And so, unfortunately...
Nigga, weed is recreational. Crack is crack.
But it depends, because some people smoke weed for the high.
Yeah.
The crack.
Recreational smoking crack.
But crack. They do it for the high.
Yeah, you still doing it for the high.
A lot of times people smoke so much weed, they get desensitized and they feel like they're moving to harder drugs.
Yeah.
So some people, it leads to other drugs.
You could do anything in recreation.
Man, absolutely. I see DMX as a Bible character. For real. Like,
yeah.
And that's what kills me about it, though, because, like, Bible characters, we'll preach about them, teach about them, praise them, want to be like them. I got the spirit of them. I'm all these things like that, these Bible characters. But then as soon as your brother does it, who lives next door to you, now you're, like, you banned from the church. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like DMX was just, like, even though he had his struggles that was on display, he also would stop and pray in a heartbeat. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I think he was ordained. He was an ordained
deacon.
It's
very spiritual.
Yeah. Like he was like, yo, I still love God. I'm gonna cuss you out, and I got your girl, but I love God. You know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna pray for her.
I mean, but David did that,
right?
You know,
I was just gonna say that.
I'll kill y'all. I'll take your chick.
I'm gonna kill you.
I'll take your chick.
But I still love God. You know what I'm saying? And you know, that's how we look at it, especially in this Western context of religion. That we say, you know, some people want to demonize him, even if they do it quietly because it's unpopular to do so right now. But I'm sure in their little sex is like, you know, well, look at this guy. He wasted his potential. He could have went further in God. But somebody remember he's prayed. Somebody was touched by that and said, wait, I can still love God even though I'm a mess. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Everybody's not called to preach just because you. Yeah.
Right. He had dogs out here praying.
Yeah.
He's in the hood.
Right.
So that means
that's something. End of his concerts, like he ended with a prayer. Something like like it's on one of his albums as well. Like, I mean, he was very public about, you know what I'm saying, his issues. Like, he knew what it was before we knew what it was. And, like, I remember, I think this weekend, like, watching the videos and Slipping and Falling came on. I was like, I can't do that. Like,
oh, man, I love that.
That song
is dope. That's my favorite DMX song ever.
Yeah, but I couldn't. I was on vacation. I didn't want to
oh,
be.
Yeah. Not that headspace.
Yeah,
headspace.
Not at all.
Yeah, so. No, and like he said that a lot of the ills that he felt was done to him to help bring him closer to spirituality and God. Right? Like I was seeing some of the interviews that popped up around the time when he was in a coma, and one of them was talking about just how he got into like hard drugs in the first place. And he was 14. Somebody, his supposed manager, when we go back to child celebrities, his manager at the time gave him some weed, told him to smoke it, and then after he smoked it, he told him it was wet. It wasn't just weed. They had this nigga 14 the first time he hit that shit. So, like, ever since then, like, he was looking for that high that he couldn't get from weed anymore. He had to chase the high, and that led him down to harder drugs, especially as he got more and more used to smoking wet. It led to crack. It led to whatever else he did. And he was like, those times are a lot of the things that led him to his spirituality, because he felt like that's the only place he could turn to get away from what he was doing and what he was doing.
I was talking to my boy yesterday. Go ahead, did you?
That's like, you got to think that a lot of times, unfortunately, as humans or as followers or whatever, unfortunately, sometimes we don't pray until we hit rock bottom instead of praying just to praise, just to say thank you. There's sometimes, you know, you got to get smacked in the mouth by life, and then you seek his face, and then you turn and understand that I ain't shit without you. You know what I'm saying? But unfortunately, it takes us to bump our heads a little bit. So his spirituality came from the hardships of life. And what I do love about DMX, or what I did love about him, was that it showed us that the humanity, that you can be human, you can make mistakes, you can be gutter, you can whatever, but I still know who I give my praises to. Just because, you know, other people might look at me and think he ain't shit, or he's got work to do.
He corny or whatever.
Or we do got work to do, right? But you don't got a heaven or hell to put me in, so I'm gonna go talk to God.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't have to worry about what you talking about.
Yeah, and it's really how you do your faith. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like maybe DMX was at a level, and as a lot of people, like, I'm gonna work out, like the Bible says, work out the faith, work out your faith, your soul salvation for yourself. You know what I'm saying? So it's a sense where it's like, I was talking to my boy the other day, and he was talking about how, you know, every experience that we go through as believers, it's gonna hone your relationship with God and with other people, you know. So every experience we go to is gonna build you for your relationship in Christ, but it also gives us an opportunity in practice to love on our brother and sister regardless of what they're going through, and regardless of who they show up as, right? Because there's no caveat in there that says, when he says love your brother as yourself, there's no caveat. There's nothing that says, well, unless they're on drugs, well, unless they are believers too. It says love them like you love yourself. Well, believers is your brother. So it's just a thing where it's like the caveat there is just like, are you a person? Are you breathing? Are you created by God? Love that person. And because it's loving arms that draws us in. It's not the critique. Mm-hmm. It's not the judgment. It's the loving arms that draws us in, you know, and whosoever will, let them come.
So as far as to answer the question about predestination versus free will, I definitely think Dre, and I'm pretty sure fucking Sidris knows that, Invictus, being the master of my fate, the captive of my soul. Like, we all have choices to make every day. you can have two people grow up in the same household and their lives are totally different. It's about the choices you make. So for me to just think, it's hard for me to think about God said, you're going to die on this day. Or if that's your day, then you can't blame God for everything that happens to you when you're making bad choices. You're just making bad choices, you know. So I kind of struggle with it, because I believe everybody has the fate of their lives in their own hands. Are people dealt bad hands? Absolutely. Some people are disenfranchised, or you grow up in the hood, or, you know, some people won a lottery. They were born into richness, you know what I'm saying? Like, whatever. But everyone has the opportunity to be great. We have the same 24 hours in a day as everybody else. So it's hard for me just to be like, well, that was just his life. Yes, And the thing is, like, he went through all that and still became a megastar. Still touched thousands and millions of lives through, with his words and with his lyrics and his prayers. So, if anything, like you said, he's a Bible character. He's somebody to look at and, like, if he can make it, I came from a loving home. Ain't nobody slipped me wet. You know what I'm saying? What am I doing? Honestly, yeah. It's like, what the fuck am I doing? And I came from a loving home with grandparents and brothers and sisters and, you know, that gave me all the support I needed. So maybe I've
never
up.
Smoked Sherm a day in my life.
Not even once. Not even on accident.
Not even.
Yeah. Not even. To the kids listening, make sure you watch people roll their shit, too. Know what you're smoking.
Yeah.
Or don't smoke at all.
And how about when you go to the doctor? When I used to be in healthcare, I used to go into the room with a patient and hand them a pill. The doctor would be like, hey, give them some Percocet, whatever, whatever. I'll go in and hand them a pill. And they'll be ready. I'm like, what did I just give you? I don't know. Right. Do you know me? I'm like, do you know me? I mean, but you know,
do I even work here?
Do that every time. Right. I got on a uniform. Like, if you're on the flight line with a uniform on. But
I don't take that shit, no way.
Well, the thing is that I would always prove a point with that. I'd be like, you know, always know what's going on in your body. You know, whether it's a trusted source or not. Somebody can't just bring you a pill and you're going to take it because you're in the hospital, you know? But so, and BJ, I hear what you're saying when you say, like, it's hard for you to think that, okay, when I was born, I know that in this date in 2021, I'm gonna pass away. I can dig that. But here's the thing.
That's way too...
No, not you. I'm saying like a person. No. Like a person, right? But I think when we talk about those, right? We talk about those, that free will and those decisions, right? Maybe at the end of some of those decisions, well, for one, we know the wages of sin is death. That's the cost for it. The cost of sin is death. And so.
But we're gonna die anyway.
Yeah, we are. That's what I'm saying. We're going to die anyway, but I mean, that's what I'm talking about when I say, like, no, it's not just scripture.
I'm confused with that saying.
Well, I'm about to.
No, the second is not your elaboration. I've never heard that saying, so.
Oh, yeah, it's in the Bible. The wages of sin is death. So, but here's the thing, and I should pull the scripture. I'm sorry. I'm being a bad minister right now. But no, I think that.
We forgive you, my son.
Thank you. I appreciate it, my daughter.
reverse.
No, but right. But I think at the end of some of the decisions, death lies, right? Because we all have these decisions, right? And we say, if you go this route, you can live till you're 50. You go this route, you're not gonna make it past 30. You know what I'm saying? And I just think maybe it is, you know. But I don't believe we're ever gonna surprise God. God knows when our last day on earth is gonna be. It's up to you how you arrive there.
That's what I'm not sure about. Because the thing is, you know, wages of death is sin, and I think about
he fucked that all up.
And then also the fact that you know there are people taken out of here, doing nothing, you know, being innocent bystanders. So it's kind of it's one of those things where
remember death is not punishment though. Death is not punishment.
I know that.
But you just said it was a punishment for sin.
I didn't say it's a punishment. Living. I said it's the wages of sin. It's not punishment. You're going to die. Everybody's going to die one day.
In what context? Okay.
So maybe long life is a gift. Maybe long life is a gift.
But if we say wages, if we're not talking about punishment, then what other context could that mean?
Well, the wages for working is a paycheck. That's not punishment. That's a consequence. You go to work, you get a paycheck. That's a consequence. If I go out here and sell drugs in front of 12, I'm getting locked up unless he wants to buy some. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's the consequence of it. You know what I'm saying? So what I say is that those who are in Christ, we can't look at death and say, oh, I'm being punished, so now I got to die. You know what I'm saying? Because to live is Christ and to die is gain. So we can't look at that and be like, I'm being punished for making bad decisions, so I'm about to die. However, there's certain lifestyles that can't support a long life. And that's just what it is. It's not punishment. It's just if you choose to go on this lifestyle path, it's a shorter lifestyle. It's a shorter lifetime. And that's not it's not punishment. It's a consequence of these choices.
Do what would best suit you to help live a long life.
Right.
So sorry for hijacking your statement here, JT, but to sit on this for a second, if we're not being punished for it, then we're supposed to be sinning?
But also, you got to think death is not just, in that context, not just about the end of life, but we're also talking about prospering and things in other natures, not just about you no longer existing. There's also the wages of sin is death. That means jobs. That means family. That means, you know, you can also mean money. Those are the type of things that will die, or you will not be able to have the opportunity. But
not necessarily, not specifically a physical death.
No.
It can be.
That's there's more. It can be. But I'm saying, like, you got to open that up a lot more than just one particular term of death.
That's a good way to put it. But I would tell you this. It's some.
I'm sorry, y'all. That kind of trivializes it for me, though.
It's some cult shit to say dying is not bad.
It's not,
nigga. Sick. I'm just saying, like,
we're not meant to be eternal.
I understand we're going to die, right? But
okay,
to say death isn't a punishment, like, it's good that you die because then you can be closer to him. I get it, but living is still better than dying. Everybody will agree with
you
that.
You don't know that. You don't know that.
All four people.
Yeah, I wouldn't agree with that necessarily.
You don't know that.
Now, here's what would be awesome
for those who
won't have to work in the afterlife. I get to chill all the time. I get to take free vacations in the afterlife. Yeah.
You can come death back.
May only most believers in general.
For those who don't believe, and for those who are still remaining, like, when you lose a loved one, it's bad for me. But that person who's gone on in the Lord, they're cool. So, you know, it's all about perspective. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if I'm looking at it and I say, because it only really pops up, say, if somebody has cancer and they finally pass away, and you say, man, no more suffering. Man, cool. But if somebody's living a good and healthy life and then they just don't wake up one day, then it's like, oh, gone too soon, da-da-da-da-da-da. But who's gone too soon? Like, you gone too soon for me because I'm going to miss you and I want you around. When does sick be dead? That's it.
When does being sick beat dead?
In what context here? I'm not following you on this.
No, because he was talking about if somebody was have cancer and you say no more suffering. But when does sick beat dead? You know, I'd rather be sick than dead.
Yeah, it's because you ain't going through chemo.
I don't know if I would agree with that. Like, when
the suffering part.
No, but like the thing is, like, when my dad passed, I actually felt good in the fact that I knew he didn't have to keep suffering through what he was going through, trying to continue to live. Mm-hmm. Like, it was more of a struggle for him to live than I think a lot of people realize and recognize. And at some point, like, when you talk about, you know, when families pull the plug, right? People are alive, but they're brain dead. But they're doing that because, like, okay, like, is what they're doing right now in this bed better than what they could be doing when they leave? And it's actually part of a tattoo that I'm getting from my mom and dad is a scripture. And I'll quote it because I don't actually have it written, but it says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And, you know, it's like, you're not here with us, but you're where you should be. You're at home with God, and he's taking better care of you than, you know, you would get on this earth, kind of a thing. So, like, we're healthy, so we don't necessarily feel like why would we think it was better. But if you're pain, if you're struggling, if you're going to chemo every week, if you're just constantly tired. Like, yeah, I mean, it's a lot. It's stressful. Not only that, but, like, all of the guilt that you feel because of the stress that you're putting your family through, that's a lot to deal with.
That's what you say, Dre. Yeah, because some people is just like, man, my family is suffering because of my sickness or because of my addiction or because of my whatever. BJ, it's not really about juxtaposition. It's not really like which one is better, which one's worse, which one's punishment, which one is not. It's more so about just like everybody who lives, unless they are raptured, is going to die. You know what I'm saying? Everybody has their appointment with the Lord. But it's all about how you're going to get there. Everything has creation groans for the return of the Lord. So,
vampires don't die as far from what I heard, from what I read, vampires don't die.
This nigga's drunk.
Thank God y'all ain't watched True Blood.
He just shut down the whole segment. So anyway, this has been the 1528 podcast.
My research. it up.
Right.
Like, since the research has found that. But yeah, it's still one of the DMX is one of those artists that was a staple in my high school years, and into college, and you know, it to see his story play out like this, it's sad, but sadly fitting in a way, and it's not in a judging kind of way. It's I hate to say it's kind of it seems par for the course, in the sense of like. Unless I had heard like he had completely stopped using, stopped doing, or stopped with these struggles and was just living this complete life, you know, completely happy life, he kind of seemed like he was, you know, still in that,
it's like,
in that.
It's fitting in a sense, in it, like if he's gonna die, that's the way he's gonna die dramatically. He's gonna die.
Of course, and by no means am I like, would I ever want him to go like this or nothing like that, but it kind of sounds, for the story, you know, from what we know, it kind of just makes sense.
Hey, but I will say this, man. For a black male coming from where he came from and making it through all of the shit that he had to deal with at a young age, for him to live till 50 alone was a blessing, man. Was able to do a lot, touch a lot of people, had 17 damn kids that he left a legacy for and with. So, like, he did a lot in the fact that he made it to 50. He overcame the odds, I'll put it that way. Mm-hmm. For sure, if he would have been able to continue living, and he could have done more and had more of a positive impact. But just that alone, it's a huge thing because people were dying left and right. That, you know, came from the same things that he came from. Yeah. He, at many times, was on the brink of death, either from suicide or from the bad situations he put himself in. So he did, you know, live a good life to even make it to 50. So I definitely don't want to make it seem like we're overlooking that fact at all.
And then one thing we can't overlook either is that he had a private life. We don't know what that looked like. You know what I'm saying? We talk about peace that we wanted him to have. We talk about him overcoming that we wanted him to do. But we didn't know him personally. Like, we didn't know if he actually was at home building himself to a place, you know, of
if he was okay at home.
Yeah. If he was okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If he was truly okay.
Real talk.
I mean, there's a saying that says, you know, be kind to people because you don't know what they're going through.
Absolutely.
You know, so just because he's in the public eye and he's people's favorite rappers, he has these dope lyrics and he's got all this talent, he can do all that, leave the studio and go home and be fucking miserable, and or go home and just cry or weep. Not even crying, weep is probably a better term when people just aren't happy. you never know. I mean, because we have bad days, you know? So why wouldn't somebody else have a bad day or be in a bad mood or have, you know, just issues that they need to have somebody? Luckily, we have the support system that we can call each other or we can call our moms or brothers or uncles or whatever and just, like, get shit off your chest sometimes. Everybody, unfortunately, doesn't have that. And when you don't have that, who knows what happens?
Yeah, that's real. That's real. I can appreciate you three gentlemen because, you know, I don't know. We don't rehearse what we're going to say when we come on here. And I just can appreciate the fact that it's not coming from a judgmental place.
Dre won't let us rehearse.
We're
or a sound check. Fuck y'all.
We're four black men at different places in our lives and different expectations and different understanding, different spirituality places, maturity levels and stuff like that. But even in that, we can set all that aside to acknowledge that everybody has their own life to live. And my favorite thing to say, too, is like there's a million ways to Jesus and one way to God. You know what I'm saying? And so
put that on the T-shirt.
We dropping sound bites today. Yeah. So yeah, I mean he
it's a recast for your ass right there.
Minus all this cussing you just sent.
It's
on par. Yeah.
10-second recast.
Man. Oh, man. But before we wrap this up, did anybody else have anything else to add about this segment before we get final words on the episode? BJ, did you finish your whole spiel?
Yeah. I was, just be kind to people. Understand people are going through shit. Just because they're a celebrity doesn't mean they're not a human. They make mistakes. They make the same mistakes we do. It's just somebody got a camera in their fucking face. You know what I'm saying? And it's not fair all the time.
Have y'all been hearing negative stuff? Like,
about X?
Yeah. The thing is, like,
did y'all see that thing where they're talking about canceling them?
Oh, yes. That video. Yes. This weekend, people were talking about. I actually saw somebody else posted it on Facebook, and all of the comments, well, not all of them, but some of our friends commented, like, one, how you gonna cancel somebody that's dead? But two, it was just a whole thing about the cancel culture, and yeah, it was weird.
Yeah,
dude, this is dumb. Like,
yeah,
I hate humans, dog.
live your.
She pulls up the video and looks at it now. He's in disbelief.
People suck.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like, clearly, everyone feels like everyone should be perfect, or if you have any type of spotlight, you should be perfect. I'm trying to figure out the only perfect person who has ever lived and walked this earth is in
heaven. Only one.
It's like, and still then, it's kind of hard for him to get followers. So I don't, you know what I'm saying?
Man.
He said it's kind of hard for him to get followers.
Right. Wow. Man, that's a word.
Even his closest followers, when he was about to die, was like, I don't know that dude. I don't know him.
Yeah. Right. In his camp.
They did like four times camp. In one day.
Right.
No, right. But I will say, like, the same people that spent all of that time going back to find shit to cancel DMX about is the same people that spend all of that time on their friends' pages liking posts from 2012. It'd be the same people just wasting time on them people's pages.
Come on, man. Stop that. Stop that, dog. Stop that. You see what the people say. That's stupid shit.
No, it's about even in the group now. It's about
Drake
even
got
in the
one
group
or two
now.
People
go
to agree with him.
Right. I counted. It's six. Before the show, I counted. It's six, and it's like five for y'all, so I'm winning. So think about it.
Whatever.
Yeah.
That's absolutely dumb.
By the way, we're referencing a conversation in the Facebook group. If y'all aren't in there, go ahead and join.
All y'all need to get over yourself.
600 and something people in there.
People who can't go back to look at old stuff that you posted.
We're not going to let it get that conversation on this episode. But let's go ahead and bring this home. Fellas, anybody else got any last words on this episode?
I do have some last words. I'm going to say this.
What up?
Just
one at a time, though. My bad if I didn't make that clear.
I think JT was speaking in tongues. I don't know what JT had going on.
I picked up this weekend.
I'm tired of us becoming famous over these dang public lynchings. State-sanctioned lynchings. So, shout out to the family of Dante Wright, the brother up in Minnesota, the most recent that we know of, victim of police lynchings. Man, we got to do something. But because it's on the podcast, I won't say it on Facebook, but I said on here, man, it almost feels like we won't see a change until we start shooting back.
No, that's honest and real, because you can only push the people so far until things pop off. And of course, never want things to get that bad, but you just got to look at history and understand, like, these things, it's going to boil over. And we're too far in advance as a people to let certain things happen. And so, yeah.
I'm going to stop us right here. These are some really hot takes that y'all might see revisited later on in the season.
I just couldn't let the episode end today.
Yeah, how dare we talk about something that's timely? Mentioning. How dare?
No, I totally agree. No, it definitely needs to be said and spoke about. I'm glad you brought it up. Just don't want to go too far down that line, because we might need to actually just sit on this a little bit more future episodes. Anybody else about this week, about anything, about parting words before you go? Oh, actually, before we wrap. I just want to say this week is not brought to me by Redemption Rye, but I drink it because I like it and it tastes good. First alcoholic beverage in like 14 days.
Good. They don't pay you for lie. It.
You don't, and they don't pay me for it. You don't know how to drink bourbon. Anybody else? What you sipping on, B?
A little El Humador, tequila.
JT didn't take nobody on his trip with him.
The trash tequila. Yeah, your peasant tequila, as JT was saying.
Yeah, lower level shit.
Exactly.
I am B. When I get off of here, I'm gonna take the last sip of this Henny White. So that this will be my only bottle. Now, no, it won't. Well, yes, it will be. It'll be my only bottle.
Selfish ass nigga. Nobody.
Nothing. Y'all knew I was going. Ain't nobody said nothing. Ain't nobody shoot me no money. Ain't nobody good. Like, yeah.
I still got a couple.
Don't fall for the people. He ain't send me shit.
I'll see you for it.
Yeah. Honestly, I do want to say, like, this week has been absolutely dope. I finished my first full week at 40 to minor aches and pains. Nothing major. And, you know, I'm kind of excited about what's coming up next, man. And I appreciate you fellas and all that good heart-to-heart shit. But, yeah.
What's crazy is, like, making it to 30 was like, whatever. But saying I'm 40, like it has a ring to it, right? It
man.
So it has this distinguished three times / surprising.
Like, I don't say it distinguished yet. I don't say it distinguished yet. I'd be like, I'm 40.
It's
like it's just I read it.
I love it.
Yeah,
I'm happy.
I take my chest out, nigga. Yeah, 40,
like,
bitch.
One, I'm glad I made it here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But two,
it's cool. Like, I told people.
I'm 40.
I told people I was 40 this weekend, and nobody believed me, so that was cool.
First off, that taco meat out, they believed you.
Absolutely. No. Because right. I cut that shit down.
He said when you was at the beach, they believed you.
Yeah. The taco meat was the belly that showed 40.
Saw that grown man waiting, like, yeah, this nigga 40. Shit. With two kids.
Right. Hey, one on the way.
Man. Oh, shit. Oh man, said BJ, y'all got any parting words for the people?
Oh man, nope. Thanks for coming out.
Nope.
Nah. Cool, man. Well, we appreciate y'all.
Caution. That wet shit, that dead shit's like abortions for bigger portions. I don't know the rest.
Yeah. Word up.
Everybody gotta spit your own DMX line.
BJ hardly ever knows the worst anything.
Man.
No, I don't.
Especially not the actual English version.
He always trying to go on live too. He always trying to go on live not singing a song,
not knowing the words.
It's like, bro, you know you didn't know the words of this song when you push record.
Jesus Christ.
Every third song, you know you about to fuck this up.
I'll be watching too. Like, all right, y'all.
He knew he wasn't gonna know the word before he clicked on it.
Right.
But all right, y'all, thanks for joining us. It's been a really good week. We are excited to see y'all join the Facebook community group if y'all ain't already in there. And we will catch y'all next week. This is Dre.
This is Jay.
And Juicy.
And Deucey. And we are out. We will see y'all for episode 10. Peace.
10. That's Diaz in Spanish. Is it?
Peace. Peace. Nigga. Don't know the words.
Don't know the words.
All right.